live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 287. I'm your host, Brandon Reif. I'll be joined momentarily by my co-host, Jonathan Birdsong. It is the week of the big game. The big game is this Sunday. We are, let's see, there's 4 days away from the big game. San Francisco 49ers versus the Kansas City Chiefs. Myself and Jonathan, we'll talk college. We'll talk NFL news and notes. We'll talk super game preview. About said the word. Don't want to get sued for it, but we'll talk the big game and more, myself and JB. We've got NBA Pacers updates. NBA All-Star Weekend is next weekend here in Indianapolis, so we're excited about that. We've got the NBA trade deadline tomorrow. What's going to happen with the trade deadline? Are the Pacers going to make a move? They're going to sit tight. Myself and John will talk that. College basketball. Myself and JB, we're going to be joined by a friend of the program, Nick Peterson. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk college basketball, the state teams here in the state of Indiana, Purdue, Indiana, Ball State, Indiana State, and Butler, and maybe a little Notre Dame. But we're going to talk that and more, and then some just some news and notes from around, some quick hitters and such. But can't do any of that without my co-host, my pilot, the quarterback, co-quarterback of the team, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
There you go, man. I'll be the leader of defense, man. You can be leader of the offense. I'll be the leader of defense. How about that?
Okay.
But like, nah, man. There you go. It's great to be back on, man, and talk some sports. I know marches are right around the corner, and we got a lot of conference basketball heating up, whether it's Big Ten, Horizon League, SEC, or Big 12, and whatnot. And I know it's going to be a little basketball heavy tonight, man. But like, no, we can't be too heavy because, you know, the big game, the Super Bowl, is right around, is on Sunday. So, like, what do you want to dive into first, Brandon?
I'm going to go to the NFL, but I want to do a hypothetical first. I want to ask just a different question every week. It's just a thing. John, for your opinion, and then I'll give mine, what time zone do you feel is the best to watch a sports game in? Is it the East, Central, Mountain, or West? For you, what do you think is the best time zone to watch a sports game?
I'm gonna sound like a super homer, and even though now we have daylight saving time here in Indiana, which you know, said for 40 years of my life, we didn't, right, or something like that. But like, I'm gonna have to say Central. Central was the best time zone to watch a program and to, like, you know what I'm saying, because you know it would come on at a reasonable hour and go off at a reasonable hour, man. Sometimes, you know, you don't necessarily get that with a Pacific time zone or even Eastern Standard.
Right. I'm going to say that as well. Like, Central time, man. Like, when we were in Nashville with the wife and we were sports games, like, to put my bets in, I was like, oh, God, these are starting at 6 o'clock. Not 7 o'clock, and then we got the nightcap games that start at 9 o'clock or 9:30, and you're not staying up until 10:30 for a tip off or a Lakers game or a Clippers game or the Suns or something, yeah. Like Warriors. It's like, I don't know if it's my old age, but you know how many games I'm actually seeing the end of? Well, not many anymore.
Well, now there's more games that they produce, whether it's football, basketball, or even baseball. There's more games that they put out there, and it's not necessarily a highlighted game. So you have to kind of, you know, we all know, you have to kind of pick and choose.
You know the big game, that I ain't going to get sued for it. You know the big game, they probably do it the best. The fact it starts at 6:18 every year. You know,
yeah.
They've started the National Championship. They've brought that a little bit. It used to be 9:18 p.m. every freaking year. College football, they brought it back now almost like at the top of the hour, 7:50 something. That used to be late, mm-hmm. like 8:30. So They're starting to, but yeah, Central Time 100% is the time to watch a sporting event in. I don't know if I can do the West, John. I'm trying to get home from work and the game started. I mean, you got this year evening to do whatever. But...
Well, you know that West Coast time is, you know, for all the international people, you know what I'm saying? And it's really, I don't really think the West Coast is for West Coast time, even though they're affected by it. I really think West Coast time is for NFL. That's really more so for all the international games that the NBA runs. But as we all know, the NFL is trying to go international. I don't know if we want to talk about this. Duke, the Philadelphia Eagles play a home game in Brazil next year.
Yeah, and it's a Friday game to start the season. Did you hear Goodell say that in his press conference? They're going to have a Friday.
Yeah, I didn't know.
The NFL opening game on Thursday, then you have one on Friday, and then Sunday and Monday.
Wow. Well, good. I don't ever think, Brandon, and I know we're kind of going back and forth, man. I don't ever think they'll get a team over in another country, but they're definitely going to try and to put the NFL in a different eyes and whatnot. But that kind of sucks as those fans lose a home game.
Right, for sure. The big game Sunday is going to be played out there at Allegiant Field, the Death Star. Kansas City Chiefs versus 49ers. 49ers currently 2-point favorites. Over under is 47.5. John, we've got field issues. The grass. I saw a couple pictures of the field. The grass looked like shit. I hope nobody gets injured. Knock on wood for this game, but that field does not look good. Patty Mahomes is embracing the booing the villain role if they end up winning. A lot of 49ers fans there, John. I think they've got the home field, obviously, with it not too far from San Fran, closer than obviously in Kansas City. But I'm expecting a good game in this one. I can't wait. It's a rematch, Super Bowl back in 2020. Shout out. Remember, just 3 weeks later, COVID hit and shut everything down. So let's hope that doesn't repeat the process. But, yeah, Super Bowl or big game preview, your thoughts?
I was trying to, trying to figure out a way to convince myself to take Kansas City. To take the 49ers. And even with the line, you know what I'm saying, giving them the heads up, you know what I'm saying, 2 points, I still couldn't, still don't feel necessary. I mean, I think it'll be close. And I think that's why it's only 2 points. Brock Purdy, you know, a lot of time game eight, dude, you don't get the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? Without being special, right? So I get it. In years past, they've been bantied about. Trent Dilfer's name has been bantied about. Brad Johnson. If you look at their statisticals, you know what I'm saying, like and how Brock Purdy got like, dude, he's a better. Look at the tape. You know what I'm saying? He's a better passer of the ball than all of those two guys who by the way have won. You know what I'm saying? Who, like I said, they won Super Bowls as quote unquote game managers. But I don't think Brock Purdy as a game manager. And I get it, you know, saying everybody from Cam Newton to whoever else is on ESPN connected has kind of said, well, he's only the 10th best player. Well, that sounds like sour grapes. Like, he's the 10th best player on the Super Bowl team, period. And he's the quarterback. He's the leader. They don't question his leadership capabilities. You might question, you know what I'm saying, if he's the 10th best player, I get it. They got a dynamic running back core there. They got a dynamic defense there. But you don't question his leadership capability, and you definitely don't question the 10th for Chiefs for 49ers. They don't question, like, you know what I'm saying, was he ever the quarterback for them? You know what I'm saying? You know, they didn't have those issues or anything like that. So he's here. You know what I'm saying? He had a magical season last year. This is even more magical. And, like, get that narrative out of game management. Man, you're the Super Bowl, man. Let it rip. But I'm kind of going to stick with my pick, Kansas City, but going to be a close game.
I've got the Chiefs. I've got the future Hall of Famer, Patty Mahomes, because, sorry, Tanner, until I see Mahomes get beat, which, I mean, he got beat by Brady in the Super Bowl a couple years ago, but until I see them get beat this year, I'm going to keep rolling with them. I keep winning money off of them, so I have no reason not to continue to take them. I put a future on, John, before the playoffs started on DraftKings at the Chiefs to win the title, plus 700. So I'm looking for that to hit. That was a nice $50 bet there. So, I very much want that to come to fruition. So
right.
I still haven't hedged it yet, as we talked last week and told with DCOT. I still haven't hedged that bet, so I'm trying to decide if I'm going to or not. But
hey, man, no, I wonder, and I know, man, just for the entertainment purpose, man, is there a bet if Taylor Swift makes it to the Super Bowl on time?
No, there's not. I'm sure there is on some markets, but the Indiana legislative has outlawed certain bets that you can and cannot make, not like novelty bets. Some sports books you can bet on the color of the Gatorade that's getting poured, and I've bet that in the past with like DraftKings and stuff like that. They in the state of Indiana has actually outlawed the Gatorade bet, so you can't even bet on the Gatorade. So I'm going to look right now real quick. I'm just curious what other novelty bets, because I haven't looked in probably 4 or 5 days at the novelty bets to see what they have. Give me a second here. Novelty
I think some of them, they got some that are political, man, or whatever, man, I think. I'm not sure. I thought they had – I just knew they were going to try to tie one with
They've got coin toss. Coin toss outcome is heads or tails.
Right.
They've got the team to win the coin toss, a scoregami. For the end of final score, jersey numbers, jersey number of the first touchdown score over or under 22.5. Jersey number of the last touchdown score over or under 22.5. So, yeah, they've got some of those things. They've got some cross sports specials with golf. Obviously, the Waste Management opens this weekend, so they've got some of those. John, your Super Bowl MVP right now, the leading candidate they have at +125 is your future Hall of Famer, Patty Mahomes. Second is Brock Purdy. I think it's crazy, John, because McCaffrey is third at +475. I think if the 49ers win, McCaffrey's got to be the MVP, right? I almost got to put a bet on this right now just so I can cover my...
Well, that's all right, right? Yeah. I don't know. I think it's going to come down to some dazzling quarterback play. There isn't a defense that's been able to really rattle Patrick Mahomes when he's had protection. That's one thing we haven't said this year. They've had protection issues. They've had some receiver drop issues, you know what I'm saying? But they haven't had protection issues, man. So the defense has stepped up. Brandon, do you know we got some Ball Staters in the Super Bowl?
I heard.
Yeah, it's a couple of them. One kid plays for – a couple of these guys, you know what I'm saying, were under their like free agency. Like, they weren't even draft picks or whatever. But, like, this one kid – they're like their recent, you know, Ball State, you know, graduates or whatnot. One's a cornerback. I do believe his name is Willie Sneed. The cornerback is Nick Jones. He plays for Kansas City. I got it because I remember. I was like, what, Ball State's out there? That's what's up. Yeah, the quarterback, number 31, that's Nick Jones. And then the receiver, I think his name is, I do believe for the 49ers, his last name is Sneed. I think it was June, Willie Sneed. But yeah, man, you know, Ball State, you know what I'm saying, make an impact on the field come Sunday, man. So like, yeah, I'm geeked, but like I said, I kind of foresee, you know, two dazzling quarterbacks, you know what I'm saying, on display here come Sunday.
Yeah, I just put a bet on McCaffrey to be MVP just because if the Chiefs win, I win a decent amount of money. If the 49ers win, I hope it's McCaffrey just going off and he wins the MVP award. I mean, Olivia Cupo, she is not bad to see either. So I would the girlfriend of Christian McCaffrey. So
there you go. Be careful. Valentine's Day next week.
Yeah. I mean, listen, this sports entertainment show, somebody just messaged me. No, we are not going to talk about Drake. We are going to stay far away from that, long and far away.
No. Is he going to be at the Super Bowl?
No, but he was – I mean, I think he's a long ways away, long and big ways away, if you catch the drift. I don't think he'll be there. I think he's more of a Canada guy, right? So basketball maybe would be his type of thing. Cheapest ticket, John. And it's just like the NBA All-Star game, and we'll talk about that. Cheapest ticket for the Super Bowl in Vegas – Section 324, it's not, so they go higher than that, but cheapest ticket, $5,905 for one ticket.
$5,000? Man, that's like car payment, car down payment. Right? No, man, that's a big time money.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, all the pageantry will be out, man. So I guess you get your money's worth for $5,000.
Can I tell you a hot take that happens this year?
What you got?
Jim Nance may retire at the end of the Super Bowl.
Who? Jim Nance?
Yeah.
Why you say that?
He's already retired from basketball, doing the Final
right,
Four and all that.
College,
but
college
I just think, man, I think there's a lot of things lining up. Maybe I think he retires from football, and then he just does golf only. I really do. Something just – I heard him on an interview, and it just sounded like that. It's like interesting. So let me ask you this, John. Would you rather go to the Super Bowl game – and spend $5,000 on, if you had unlimited money, and you have $5,000 on a cheap ticket up there for that, or would you rather go to the NBA All-Star game where right now you can get a ticket for $930 up top?
For an exhibition All-Star game?
Yeah.
But is it just a game or just an All-Star game weekend? Like, do you get to go
the
to
All-Star
another?
Game itself.
It's just $900.
Section 212.
That's not a bad deal, right? But I think I would take the Super Bowl over that.
If you want to do Section 16, which is center court, 16th row, typically that goes for probably about $175 or so for the Pacers.
Uh-huh.
It's going to cost you about $8,000 for the All-Star game. 16th row.
To be that close to Kevin Durant. To be that close to LeBron James. That's what it all is going to entail. You know, or, you know, so maybe Paul Pierce is in, or Steven Jackson. Because, like, this is about to be the town, Indianapolis is about to be turned upside down, man. You know this, right? As far as basketball culture is concerned. I've seen Reggie Miller shooting, like, three-pointer after three-pointer.
He's getting a telecast, man.
I'm like, dude, are you coming out? You coming out of retirement? He was nailing them, bro. But like, basketball mythos, whether, you know what I'm saying, you play college basketball here at a high level or professional basketball or got, you know, some ties to Indiana, they're all coming out, man. You know what I'm saying? Coming
and
for all
look,
the greats.
I'm upset with the NBA because
how's that?
We're a week away. I mean, at work, we're revving up. I'm like, it's very cool. I'm starting to feel it. All the information we're starting to get for what our hotel is going to do and all this stuff. I love it. But me and you never got the call for the celebrity game. I don't know if they're waiting to call us or what. But Crossroads, he's playing in this celebrity game next week.
Did they call the homie Skip Mills? I just saw him at the gym, man. They ain't got no real celebrities in this game. That's why, man. I think Stephen A. is going to be the head coach. I think 50 Cent is the assistant. It's something crazy.
John,
so they got
let me tell you Stephen
they,
A.'s
they
team.
They got some star power. You said who now?
Let me tell you these names. And usually they try to do it, like, with people in that area, right? Stephen A.'s team. Basketball entertainer, Jack Ryan. Who? Singer, A.J. McLean. Who the hell is A.J. McLean? C.J. Stroud. What the hell is C.J. I mean, besides his playoff success, he ain't doing nothing here in Indiana except whoop their ass a couple weeks ago.
And lose to Michigan a couple years ago, yeah.
Chef Kwame Ochawi. No clue. WNBA player Natasha Cloud. No clue. Musician Adam Blackstone. Meta World of Peace, back in the attendance.
Man,
okay, I'll take Meta, and then Jennifer Hudson.
All right.
Now let me tell you, Shannon Sharpe's team: Micah Parsons,
nice.
Connor Daly, actor Quincy Isaiah. NBA All-Star Jewel Lloyd. Why don't we get some Indiana Fever people, right? Why can't they be in it?
Right.
Streamer and YouTuber Kai Kentak? I have no clue. Actor Dylan Wang. Another YouTuber and actress Lily Singh. Singer-songwriter Sir. Walker Hayes and a Latin singer. Mm. You couldn't get Lil Wayne to get out here. You couldn't get T-Pain. You couldn't get, like...
Lil Wayne's performing. Lil Wayne's performing.
I know. I heard you're going. I heard a rumor you're going.
No, I'm not going that. You ain't got to worry about that.
Oh, I thought you were going to get the scoop for us.
No, my daughter might be trying to go, but you ain't got to worry about me going, bro.
The people who are coaching the games, the two teams, Peyton Manning and 50 Cent.
So the GOAT's coming back?
Say what?
Manning going to be back in the city?
Yeah, he'll be at the celebrity team. And 50 Cent, he's giving out more of his cognac. So.
Yeah, that I knew. Yeah, that I knew about 50 Cent.
That picture I sent you. The game's going to air at 7 o'clock on the 16th. The actual game's at 6 o'clock, so... But the game's at 7 on ESPN next week. Former NBA player Richard Jefferson and Colts punter Pat McAfee will be part of its broadcast team for the celebrity game.
It's going to be big news, big deal.
Yeah, give me
a
second.
I don't know what your work schedule and what that is, but I'll be down there, dude. See what
I plan on being down there all 3 days. Saturday at noon. I'm going to head over to the convention center. I got a ticket for noon entry.
Okay.
And I feel like I need to go down there on Thursday night so I can talk to Chuck and Jack and Ernie.
You're going to go back to your old school Reef takes, try to get you some on-the-street interviews?
I need to. Man on the street interviews? This would be the weekend for it, and I would love it.
Yeah, you ain't got to do 10. Just do a couple, man. You know, that'd be kind of... People are going to be excited about
I will tell you, I do get to see... I do know a few people that I will be running into for sure based on schedules and things going on that I am super excited with. I will text you afterwards on the one because I'm really excited to see this person. John, I want to do the skills. Skills challenge. Victor Wembanyama is committed to be in the skills challenge. So that'll be interesting to see.
Right.
Your three-point contest this year, your participants, Dame Lillard, Tyrese Halliburton, Donovan Mitchell, Malik Beasley, and Jalen Brunson, and Lauri Markkanen. Four of the five have made at least one All-Star game, and all have made 120 triples so far this year. Lillard won last year. He'll try to be the first one to complete back-to-back since my boy, Jason Capono, in 07-08.
Man, I'm a little disappointed, man, that the homie Grayson Allen ain't participating in the three-point contest.
Right.
He's either one or two in three-point percentage. I'm pretty sure he qualifies for the threshold. You know what I'm saying? You got to have a certain amount of threes. But I'm kind of, it's up to guys if they want to participate, right? You know what I mean? But, it'd have been interesting to see him put on the show. But, sounds like Dame's going to take another title. I'm glad at least in the three-point contest there's some star power, though, because when we get to the dunk contest, oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Speaking of dunk contest, Mac McClung from the Magic. Yep, that was a big clanger. I know he won last year, but ugh. Jaylen Brown. Okay. All right, Jaylen, stepping it up from the Celtics.
Right.
I like that. Not Obi, who should be from the state of Indiana, but we're going to go and put Jacob Toppin, who's in the D-League, or the G-League. And Jaime Jaquez.
Jaime Jaquez can jam, but he's a fresh face into the league. I like Jaylen Brown being into it because, you know what I'm saying, he's a veteran and, you know what I'm saying, he's got final appearance, all those things, all NBA. When it comes to Toppin and McClung, McClung has been on a 10-day with Orlando. He's still back and forth with his D-League assignment too, man. So, they're still, the stars have truly not committed to the dunk contest just, you know what I'm saying, still. So we'll see, you know what I'm saying, amongst those four who wins. Maybe we get a back-to-back champion in McClung, but,
Steph Curry versus Sabrina Ionescu head-to-head NBA versus WNBA three-point challenge during State Farm tonight. Your thoughts? I'm kind of excited to see it. You said she'd shoot from the three-point line for the men. She don't care.
Yeah, you know they're gonna have all their brightest that weekend, man. So it's gonna be exciting.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And then it looks like John, we've got the there's a competition, man. We've got Tyrese, Miles Turner, and Benedict Mathurin on a team.
That's for the pure competition, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. All right.
So,
hey, man, you know, it's good. You got it in your home city. They got the right players. Who else would you put willing to have on that team? They got the right players to have from a patient standpoint. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. So let me ask you this, John. We've got music events. You tell me, yeah, you interested, you may go or not. T-Pain and DJ Zedd at the convention center.
At the convention center, probably not. Probably not for me.
Boozy going to be at the Vogue on Friday.
That's a possibility. That's the east side, y'all. And you know, saying Broad Ripple, they've actually, you know, they fleshed out the sidewalks, and, you know, it's a little different now, so you can't turn like how you want to turn. Down Guilford and some of the other Broad Ripple Avenue, some of those other streets now. But, like, no, man, Boosie at the Vogue, it might be a pretty happening vibe.
It doesn't say Lil Boosie. I know Lil Boosie, but it just says Boosie, so I'm guessing it's the same person.
Nah, I still call him Lil Boosie because, you know, I'm from the old school with the CD.
Yeah.
Still had Lil Boosie in there.
Yeah. Keith Urban and Walker Hayes at the convention center. That's country, so JB is for sure not going to be there for that. Two Chainz.
If Clint Pack was going to be there, I'd be there. So don't be trying to get me out of the cooking.
Shout out Kobe Keith, RIP.
Man, RIP, Kobe, absolutely.
2 Chainz, Saturday night at the Vogue in Broad Ripple. I can see you at 2 Chainz.
What? That's going to be wild, man.
Lil Wayne at the convention center on Sunday. And then during the All-Star game, Babyface, Jennifer Hudson, and Charlotte Cardin.
Oh, wow. Babyface.
And then, John, if you're really interested, Thursday night, the NBA All-Star Tip-Off event with Shaq, Barkley, Kenny Smith, and all of them is going to be at the convention center. And then you can go right over to the Bicentennial Unity Plaza outside of Gainbridge, and your boy Mike Epps and Tamika Catchings will be there.
I told you, man. It'll probably be some more surprises, man. Again, you know, I expect to see a lot of different basketball emissaries, whether they went to IU, Purdue, you know what I'm saying, Ball State. Anything basketball is going to kind of converge here in the Circle City come All-Star weekend. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be great.
Pacers update, John. They got a win last night against Houston. Defense looked like a little rough at first. Houston was hitting shots like crazy starting out. Pacers battled back. They won the game they needed to win, even though they didn't cover. They did that. Pacers been linked, John, trade deadlines tomorrow. We've been linked with Wiggins. Ugh. Isaac Okoro has been linked from the Cavs to the Pacers. The 76ers are interested in Buddy Hield. Tomorrow is the deadline. Do you think Pacers make a move, or are they just going to sit tight? Like Tyrese said last night, we like our team. We like where we're at.
Yes, it was kind of sounding like Tyrese was speaking very highly of not trading out. As we know, players do have a little bit of say who they play with nowadays. But it sounded like he was like saying like, "Hey, man, Buddy's just going through a poor shot, you know, say a poor shot throughout his season, you know, through this season. And like, and we should make, like, he still believes that defensively he can help this team. It's weird, you know what I mean? So." With those two expiring contracts and knowing what the Pacers have to sign over the summer, they got to resign Pace, you know, saying they got to resign Siakam, they got to save some money for Ben Mathurin the year after next, and they probably won't even think about, like you said last episode, they want to put Naismith, in for a little bit of a long term. I think he's probably played a little bit better since he's been here. I've been a big proponent of Obi Toppin staying here as a Pacer. I don't think they're going to trade him. They like him. They don't love him. He's not, you know, his play hasn't fallen off like, you know what I'm saying, kind of like, you know what I'm saying, like kind of like Hill's shot has fallen off. But, you know, it's not like, you know, sometimes you can get Obi Toppin can give you double digits, you know what I'm saying, points, and sometimes it's 6 points. And that's the kind of shows the level of inconsistency in his game. But staying pat, and nothing wrong with staying pat either, Brandon. They pushed this young group to a point, and they know what they are, what they can do. They are playing better defense. They talk about that openly now after games and how they can play better defense. So I like the special team, but the business suggests that they should still make a trade. Either to probably try to get some of those draft picks and those assets they got by moving one of those contracts, whether it be Obi Toppin, whether it be Buddy Hield or somebody else, right, or a combination of both, to get some of those draft picks you got back that you lost when you made that Toronto trade. So it's going to be really interesting tomorrow during, you know, say after, you know, say the trade. What's the trade deadline? What, 5 o'clock? That's when it stops. I believe.
Favorite. Yeah, I think trade deadline story was Burke not trading enough for J. Mayo. The three times we tried to get him.
Larry Bird was insensitive. He was like, man, we got to get him. We got to get him.
Hey, during the day tomorrow, 3 p.m. 3 p.m. is the deadline.
Oh, wow. They moved it up. I thought
you were thinking of the free agency. Free agency is the thing that starts at 6 every year.
Okay,
now.
Gotcha.
I used to love, by the way, the midnight free agency. I would stay up just for it. And then you get that, you just fall asleep and it's like that 4 a.m. free agency signing. You're like, what the hell you wake up to?
Right. Everybody did change teams.
Yeah. All right. Let's bring on the younger. Well, I don't know if he's younger. He's got less gray, so I'll call him younger. The younger brother of Randy Sykes, Deacon. Let's bring him on. What's up, Deke?
What's happening, fellas? Hey, I heard the word Praisers, man, and I had to chime in.
Chime in, Deke, I owe you and Brandon an apology.
Oh,
yeah,
you want me an apology?
What's my guy?
Oh, are we recording?
You know how Fonzie used to, Deke, I know you know, because Brandon, I don't know how far you know about Happy Days. You know how Fonzie used to say he was wrong. So you remember
he couldn't say the word.
Yeah, man. I'm not gonna say I was wrong, but the kid, what's his name, Jalen Smith?
Yep.
Uh huh.
Hey, man, that might be a keeper.
Yeah.
I wouldn't trade him. Whatever they've gotten in, they got. You know, saying his attention now, and now, you know, what I'm saying either through the weight room, I think he's got a little bigger since he's been here. He's a keeper. He's a defensive tip. Like I would say the first line of defense is Miles Turner, and then he's the second. And they could ever find out a way to consistently play those dudes together with a big lineup, the pace would be unstoppable. But his offense is coming along.
Pretty good.
He's shooting the three a little bit better. And like I said, he's rebounding and blocking shots a little bit better. And he's staying on the court. He's not like, you know, a project anymore. And I want to say openly that I was,
I got what you're saying. I'm thinking about what you're putting down. But, you know, I've been a big proponent of Isaiah, and he's been sitting the last few games. And that's why, because Smith has played so much better. He shot the ball well. You saw the block last night where he pinned it against the rim and the backboard. He's doing more of it. He affected probably three or four other shots last night in that realm, right? He's playing. He seems like his spirit is better. I still love Isaiah, right? Because I just think Isaiah is one of those guys. When he got in the game, he went after it, right? Because he knows his time is limited. But if Jalen continues to play in the trajectory where he's at, man, you know, that's going to be a real problem for Isaiah because you're talking about he may pay 50 games at about, you know, 12 to 20 minutes, depending on injuries and that type of thing. Are you okay with it if you're Isaiah Jackson, right? That's going to be the big deal because I still think you need another big man and not just a guy that says he's on our roster. I still want a guy that can play, right? So, you know, and again, his contract is very doable. I don't think, he's looking to break any bank, like, you know, $10 million plus or anything like that. So I still think you can still sign Smith. I think you can smile. You can sign Smith. Keep Jalen because Jalen. Keep signing Jalen, and you can keep Isaiah Jackson because he's got 2 years left on his deal. So I think you're right about that. The other thing is, I think the only guy we even consider trading is Buddy Hield right now, because you know it's summertime. Unless something crazy jumps out, Pacers don't have to make any crazy moves. Siakam's played really well alongside Nesmith. He's played really well alongside him. Siakam's a guy. You know what I thought about Siakam? I thought he was like a KD kind of guy, right? He's not. He can't handle the ball very well at all. He's got a nice mid-range game, but it's really difficult. Not difficult. He doesn't make his own shot as easy as KD does. I was looking at him as a KD type. He's not that dude. Now, mind you, he's shooting 43% from three right now, but you know those are some real clean looks because he's getting a lot of wide open space. He hit a couple last night that I was shocked at. But yeah, I think he's a keeper because alongside with what we've got, I don't know that he'll be the all NBA guy that he was 4 years ago. But I think what he brings to the Pacers along with TH and along with Nesmith and also Turner, I think he's a great compliment. So we got enough guys that are shooting threes as it is. So I really like the trade. I love the trade because I got a feeling he's going to sign. Did you see him last night after the game? I don't know if they showed it on Pacers.com or not. Stayed, signed autographs, talked to kids and stuff like that. I don't know if you guys saw it or not, but man, it seems like he's really fitting in with what they're doing.
Yeah, man. I just want to point out, man, his level of play is except that the one loss record since the Siakam has been a Pacer, like, so that is them finding, like, the injectable minutes for him. Because, like, once you brought him in, that cuts into Jared Walker's minutes. That also cuts into, to some of the other four's minutes as well. But they've been kind of weak. So they've been trying to do two things at one time. And I know we're super critical on this show about that. They're trying to infuse this new talent into their team, but also trying to get Haliburton his, $45 million, which is kind of been sort of a mess. But, and I hope they kind of so it's not a distraction. But, like, man, they've got to get more games together and more games healthy together.
Yeah.
And they'll be on their way.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%, man. Like I said, because I don't think Buddy's going to sign. I think he's still going to, command around that $20 million next year in his new contract. I think that prices us out because, obviously, we're going to prioritize Siakam. We've already took care of Nesmith with his 3 years, 33, which is solid. So, and then now you're talking about Jalen. So you think about this. Do you want Jalen or do you want Buddy? I think it's a no-brainer at this point because teams are hunting Buddy. They're putting him in the pick and roll no matter who he's guarding. And speaking of, you said Jalen Smith earlier, JB, the other Jalen Smith from Auburn, the silky smooth two-year guy from Auburn, they had Buddy on him last night because they wanted him to go into the post because his game, he's a long-range guy. And the times when Buddy was on him, man, he cooked him. But that guy's smooth, man. He didn't touch the rim on, I think, his last four shots that when Buddy was playing against him. He didn't touch the rim.
I will say, kind of been bad. I don't know if they look at the losses. I obviously want to win. Those things been real bad is that when they try to – they were running shots and running plays for Siakam, it kind of stuttered up. Been mad, like, master. Like, if – I'll be honest with you, man. If Haliburton ain't there, ain't in the like, then Matson is the shooter. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying first option, and I know he's still necessarily. I don't say it's a struggle, but 3-point ain't necessarily his thing. But if he's in the if Haliburton's out, then like Ben Matson, I'm not saying he's running like a dog, but like he got to play. You know what I'm saying? And he should be.
Yeah.
He should be during that time, sort of the feature until you can get Haliburton. You got to be more than 22 minutes. Okay,
Maverick,
go out here and do your thing.
Yeah. Well, it's going, well, he was sick last night, but I'm a little concern about that because he looked really well in the game before. So, you know, you always, you know, all these, you know, not playing, it always kind of makes me kind of give it a side eye a little bit. But but to your point, you're developing those other guys. So you're talking about Ben. You talk about the other Ben. And you talk about Jairus Walker. So you got three guys right there that you want to continue to develop along with your core seven, with your core six. So and Ben is that seventh guy, right? So then you're talking about Jairus and the other Ben. So you're talking about nine guys. That's not talking about T.J. McConnell, and that's not talking about Isaiah. So realistically, you got on any day. Nimhart's already in there. He's in that core six. So what I'm saying is, you know, you on any game, if the Pacers play 10 players, you wouldn't be worried like, oh my gosh, it's such a drop off. You got 10 guys, maybe that you can put in there, and it's not a severe drop off, right? So now you got to think, okay, where are we going to be with this, with our communication and these guys willing to accept roles? Like the Detroit, remember the Pistons of the late 80s with Isaiah, Benny, Edward? Are we in a situation where we got guys that say, you know what, I want to be a part of this winning program. Yeah, I'm not going to make as much money, but, man, I really love being here. That's going to be the test for the GM over the next 2 years.
Right, absolutely. I heard some people talking about why not the Knicks, you know what I'm saying, representing the East, I was like, wait a minute, hold on, man. I get it, man. Y'all in love with Brunson. It reminds you a little bit sometimes of Allen Iverson. I get the Knicks are playing. They're also, you know, some
Yeah. Trip,
but like, I think the Knicks can win the East, and shoot, truly a healthy Pacers team can win the East, too.
Hey, let me tell you this. I don't know who the Knicks have healthy or not because I know OG is still struggling with his elbow. But I'm going to tell you this. And I told my counterpart last night, we got the Knicks in the next week. We're going to beat the Knicks. I think we got them. I don't know the exact date, but I think I looked at the calendar.
Your last one, unfortunately, did it come to true? No, they led that whole game, man, and they lost that
Yeah, we pissed it away. You know, we pissed it away, man. We fell in love with the three, and we didn't bring the four quarters of intensity. And that was the game the TH played only 20 minutes also, right? I just believe that we'll get them next. It's a good matchup, right? The guard that they got, he's tough, man. He's a handful for everybody, right? Not just the Pacers. He's a handful for everybody. But I look forward to it, man. And I definitely don't, if the Pacers do a trade, don't trade anyone any money in the East. Don't go against your. Don't trade to your competition. I know we're talking about Philly. Don't give Philly any help. Let them keep on dropping. Let Milwaukee keep on dropping.
Right.
So that's
right.
Why I say, if you're gonna trade, you send Buddy to the West. And to your point, JB, get a couple second round picks back. If you can scrape up a one, hey, that'd be great, especially with a team like an Oklahoma City or something like that. I don't know if you can, but if you get a couple seconds to recoup some of that Siakam deal, I think that's a good deal, man, for the Pacers.
Absolutely. Brandon?
Yeah. Hey, and last thing, I'm not going to even call it a dark horse, man. The skills challenge, and I won't watch it because I don't watch anything on All-Star Weekend, but the skills challenge, I can't stand it, man. skills challenge, JB, we can talk about that offline. Turner, Ben, and TH are going to win whatever skills they, whatever it is they're doing. I don't know if they're treating them like circus animals or what. But whatever it is, they'll win because you got ball handling, you got shooting, and you got skill. Those three guys are skilled, so they'll win it. In my opinion, they're going to win whatever the skill is.
Yeah, if you're a fan, if you ever watch, I understand where you come from, because I understand why you don't watch. If you're a fan late 80s All-Star game basketball, everybody's like, they didn't never send nobody to the floor, but it was a little bit more competitive than what it
was. Hey, listen, in June, we can go to West Montgomery Park, JB, down the street from where we grew up at, right? And we can see better basketball.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Defensive,
so,
basketball.
So, like, no, so, so yeah, no thanks for me.
Sure, you'll be out enjoying some of that ambiance, man. That's the one. The All-Star game ain't been here since, what, 83, 84?
It was 85. It was 85 at the Hoosier Dome.
Yeah.
Here's a tidbit. I went to that game, right? I went to it with my big brother. Wasn't my, not my real big brother, but he was my big brother. $35 a seat. $35. I would never forget that. It was 85. 35 bucks, man. Two tickets. 35 apiece. So I looked at the prices. Lowest price that I got, Upper Deck, $420. No thanks, man. No thanks. I can do without that. But again, I'm sure there'll be some good going on Sunday that I can watch beside the All-Star game. But that's all I got, man. I only want to talk Pacers tonight, man, because a pretty good game last night, and I look forward to tomorrow night's game against Golden State. We'll see how that plays out.
You watch the Super Bowl, though, ain't
you? I don't know, man.
Big time sports, man. You might not have no kids. Is anybody in Alabama playing for either team?
I don't think so, but that wouldn't be why. I just haven't had the interest that I've had in the past, right? I think Kansas City wins it. I think Mahomes is a magical self, but that doesn't mean if somebody's having a party, I won't go. I'm just not interested really in watching the game.
Got you.
Because it's not enough money. It's not enough parlays to bet on either, man. And Brandon understands that pain, so it's not enough. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of prop bets, but I'm not a big prop bet fan anyway.
Right now, the 49ers are at +2 to win.
Yeah,
and
-2.
I'm sorry, shame on me. -2.
Yeah, they've been rolling at 1.5. They've been 1.5 to 2, kind of, depending on what book you're looking at, 1.5 to 2.
So,
yeah.
Okay. All right. We got to keep it going. We are guests getting ready to come on.
Appreciate you guys. Y'all be safe. I'll message you guys some stuff later on. I got to pick up my cousin here in Shelbyville, see how he's doing. So I'll keep you guys posted.
Sounds good. Take it easy, cop.
All right, fellas. Be safe, fellas.
JB, you got to check your phone, man. Your audio, you're sounding like you're underwater for like the last 10 minutes.
All right, we'll fix it. Hold on.
That sounds better. I mean, it was bad. Like, I don't know if our Facebook group could hear it. Because it was low and it sounded like you're underwater. So I don't know. I apologize to our Facebook listeners if you couldn't hear it. The podcast and stuff picked it up a little bit better, but the Facebook one, I don't think so. And I was texting you, telling you to fix your audio, so you weren't checking your phone. We're going to bring our guy on, but I got to warn you before we bring... So Nick Peterson is going to be our guest here in like 2 minutes, 3 minutes. So Reggie, you got 3 minutes, my man, before our guest calls in. What you got?
First of all, you got that old guy on there that just called before me, like on a Geico commercial. You know, don't act like your parents. That's that guy. I'm not watching the Super Bowl because he left the Colts and he don't have a pro. He got 20 pro teams. He's been on everybody that's a 49ers fan talking about they're going to win. He's been on everybody that's a Kansas City fan talking about they're going to win. He's a big dummy. I hate going to the Pacer games with him because he's a big dummy. It's his turn to buy, and he goes away from buying the beer. He's a big dummy. He's talking about don't trade within your conference. Well, sometimes you got to trade within your conference. You can't always get what you want, but if there's a deal to be made in the East, you make that deal. It's not about egos and stuff. It's about getting better. It's a business, dummy. He's a dummy. That's why he gambles all the time. He ain't going to pick up his cousin. He's going to the casino to lose his money. Watch. Nick Saban then left Alabama. Watch this dummy leave Alabama. I give him 2 years, and he's going to be out because he's a dummy. Matter of fact, J.B. Brandon, I'm thinking about moving my seats to another part of the stadium. I really hate sitting next to this guy at Pacer Games because he doesn't understand sports. I mean, just listen to him. Listen to this guy.
We have, man. Reg, as we go into All-Star break, man, I know you watch all sports, man, what has kind of been your thoughts on the Pacers? Should they trade Buddy Hill or just kind of stay pat?
I kind of want to stay pat, but if they trade Buddy, I'm not going to be mad. I mean, we got a – man, that's why we got rid of some of our draft picks early. We got a bunch of draft picks. We don't really necessarily need them. We can't find playing time for the two rookies we have right now and some of the other guys who drafted in previous years. But if you get a good deal, his contract's expiring, let him go. If you can sign him to 1 year after the year, you sign him. But it seems like that he's going to require a lot of money, and you got to think, we still got to re-sign Pascal. We need to see what Stick's going to do. We need to see what we're going to do with Obi Toppin. But I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't be mad if we stood pat and didn't make any moves at all. I wouldn't be mad at that at all.
Okay.
So, yeah. Jonathan, you sound a lot better now. Brandon was right.
Right?
He was like, man, like you was talking underwater, holding your nose. I was like, Aqua Boogie, get down. You know, I can barely hear you.
Exactly. That's why. And, hey, Reg, I was trying to be the good producer and texting him, but he wasn't checking his phone.
He must got it on silent. You know how JB is.
Oh, yeah. Well, I said at least he's doing that, not eating. He used to eat back during the show. You can hear that. So he's done. He's gotten better. Just took 6 years.
Unprofessional blog. Unprofessional podcast, you know.
Hey, man, but
Reg, you going to watch any All-Star?
Man, yeah, I'm going to watch some of the stuff. I got some friends coming in town, sisters coming in town, so I'm going to do a couple of events. I'm not playing no crazy amount of money to get anywhere, but I'm sure there's a couple of local places that you can probably get in and still have
you
a great
time. You going to 2 Chainz?
I don't think I'm going 2 Chainz, but there's an old school party at the Madam C.J. Walker. I think Mike Epps putting together. I know they got an old boy from Eric B. and a few other people that
okay.
I think is going to be pretty nice. It's not an official NBA sanctioned event, but, you know, there's going to be all kinds of NBA events that ain't sanctioned going on. But I did
right.
think about Friday. They got some kind of a free concert. You need to go online and get your tickets now in that new mall area that they're built. It's supposed to be like a free concert down there. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
But I know, you know, please don't be like your parents. That's what y'all should tell Todd when he starts talking. Because he just sounds like the old mad guy that's, you know, get
but
off
he
my
is
grass.
Old.
You kids get off my grass. Yeah, well, yeah, he is old. He looks old and he acts old. So you're right. You're right. Right. Okay. Well, we're just going to have to get him some help then. So, yeah.
That's yeah.
But I know you got a guest come on. I think I've said my piece. Go Dodgers, go Colts, go Pacers, go all the Indiana schools, go Butler, go IU, go Purdue, and go Southern University. Southern University basketball beat Jackson State the other day, and I'm so happy
sure
about
did.
That. Blue and gold, Southern, baby. Y'all have a good one, fellas.
See you, Reg. They appreciate you. All right, that's our guy, Reg. He got his call in. I'm glad he was on time. He was prompt. See, I told you I'm not being the only one. You sound like you're underwater. So I appreciate that. So, the producer that I am, texting you undercover. give me 1 second. While we're doing the show, the wife is texting me. I'm texting her.
Happy wife, happy life. Bro. You already know you gotta take
Well, she's asking about dinner, and she knows we do the show on Wednesdays. She's texting me, what time are we finishing? So we can do dinner, so that's not bad. Nick Peterson's going to call in here in a minute. I just told him to call in about 7:55, so we're about a minute away from him calling in. We're going to talk college basketball. Now, I want to thank our sponsor, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance. We also want to thank our sponsor, Maverick Custom Motorsports. Without those two, John, we would not be able to do what we do. We would not be able to pay the bills, keep the lights on. We would not be able to bring to the masses here in the city of Indianapolis, the state of Indiana, and the country of the United States on this planet Earth. We would not be able to do it without them. So thank you to our sponsors, both of them. And if you're listening to the show for the first time and you want a sponsor spot, let us know. Hit up Jonathan. Hit up myself. We're always looking to add more to be able to do more. And the more that we can, the more that we can put to the masses, we want to be able to do that. So we are coming up on our, let's see, 7-year anniversary of Crossroads Sports. The birthday's coming up in March, John, March 16th, I believe it is the anniversary birthday, 7 years of Crossroads Sports. So can't wait. Can't wait for that. We're going to do something special once we get up to 10. So we got to be able to get there. Before he calls in, John, let me ask you this. Rick Pitino. Pitino mm-hmm. said, and he had some interesting comments. Pitino said that college basketball needs a salary cap, and the salary cap should be about up to $2 million. Your thoughts?
But every school is not going to
have
$2 million. Doesn't have $2 million to give out to their basketball program, and then you're asking the NCAA to say that college athletes. It's somewhat of a tricky trick. You know what I'm saying? The NCAA is govern schools, and they govern all sports, not. And this is where this slipperiness where it becomes confusing. So, like, they want to do all this movement, and they did it, right? You know what I'm saying? Broke the Pac-12 and the Big 12. All those teams went over here, and some of the teams went over, and ACC is still pissed. And, you know, now we got a coach talking about, you know, basketball coach talking about salary cap. There's no commissioner over every there's a commissioner over every – school program, but there's no one super commissioner that tells those commissioners that this is what your school got to do. If my school brings in $5 million for the basketball program, that's just a shame on that team because they can't bring in $5 million. So it's just like, I get Patino's, you know, I'm not saying senility is sleeping in, is creaking in, but like, bro, you at St. John's, not the Knicks, not the Celtics, not, you know saying, all those sides, the Nets, not, you're not in the NBA anymore. There needs to be something done as far as regulation. So putting the salary cap in, that's some form of regulation so that now it's a fair playing field for everybody, and it's kind of like how it was, you know what I'm saying, how it's always been, you know what I mean? But I think right now we're in a space, whether it's with college athletics, that we can't think about what worked for us 30 years ago. So a salary cap, I can't see working at all or even be brought into the equation.
Okay.
Guys are idiots. In Three Foolish Men, I put you right in that category.
He's back.
He is back on. So also is back is our college basketball guru, Nick Peterson. Nick, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Doing well. Anytime I can razz Jonathan with a Dan Dockich, blasting him on the radio, I'll do it. So it's always good. Hey. Hoosiers got a win last night. They've got some life in them. Galloway had a big game. They're not dead yet. I know we texted this morning. Big win. They're not dead yet. They've got an opportunity this weekend to make a statement if they want to get into the NCAAs this March.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. You say they're not dead yet. Well, go ahead and plan their funeral for Saturday at 8 p.m. because that's when they're dead, officially.
Oh, we haven't really talked. We haven't had a chance to talk to you on live. I've talked to you off air plenty of times. What's wrong with this year's IU team? And I know we can go into 1,000 different ways of this, but just a snapshot, your assessment, what do you believe is wrong with this IU team that was expected to be, I guess, not as bad as what they are playing like. I know they weren't going to be as great because they lost Trace and Shahud Shafino, but it's kind of not been what Hoosier fans have been kind of looking for.
Yeah. I mean, I think even going into the season, you know, coming off this offseason, I think there were plenty of question marks, right? I mean, the talent was there. You know, you had a couple, you know, young All-American guys coming in with Ware and Mbako. You know, you add that to guys like Xavier Johnson and Galloway and Renew, you know, you feel like there's plenty of talent on the court, right? However, it's certainly not translating into any wins or, you know, any meaningful wins, I should say. As I was looking at their resume today, out of all the wins that they have, they don't have a single win against a team that would be in the tournament right now. So, I mean, they're not even close to the bubble right now. Like, obviously, winning on Saturday would be huge, but, you know, so would winning the lottery. So But to answer your question, I mean, I think it really boils down to a lack of leadership. There was no guy that really was stepping up. You know, the two names that would have come to mind at the beginning of the season would have been Xavier Johnson and Trey Galloway being the, mm-hmm. you know, the two oldest guys on the team, the guys with the most experience. And, man, Xavier Johnson, that guy, you know, he's just not a leader, quite frankly. And, you know, he just makes boneheaded play after boneheaded play. And, you know, he's a, 23, 24-year-old six-year senior, and he's doing that. It's like, I mean, what do you expect the freshmen and sophomores to think, you know, when you know, it's just a it's a yeah. cultural thing down in Bloomington. I mean, it's not – they're just not – they don't have a culture of winning. It's basically get as much talent in there as we can, and hopefully we'll figure it out. And that's clearly not a good recipe.
1-7 against the quad one, based off the net rating. 99th in the net right now. They've got four home games left and four road games. After Purdue, they got two home games against Northwestern and Nebraska, at Penn State, Wisconsin, and then at Maryland, Minnesota. And then I think a team that, for me, I can't believe they're doing this bad this year, Michigan State, 14-9. Sparty just kind of mm-hmm. falling off this year. But back to IU, I do like the progress that I've seen. And you know, with Crossroads and, you know, being a Purdue fan and all, I do watch the IU games because I want to see, you know, just how they play and all that. And I said something to John a couple weeks ago about Anthony Leal, and the dude has – I said, why not give him a shot to come in there as a senior and just let him kind of go in there and do his thing? And what's the worst thing? I said, the guy is a pretty good shooter. Let him get his shots right. up. And he's done that the last few yep. games. And he's kind of energized this ball club a little bit, I see.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you know, and it just makes you wonder. I mean, what's Woodson seeing in practice, you know, to make him not put him out there? You know, I mean, obviously right. the guy's got heart. He's got ability. You know, he might not be the most athletic. He's clearly not the biggest. But he's
he's somebody yeah. getting knocked down shots. I know that. And when they put him out there in certain, you know, say offensive possessions, you know what I'm saying, he's delivered. I know the game before the Ohio State game, the one against Penn State, wasn't necessarily his best finding out, but I don't think he played. Like they didn't put him in a whole lot of he didn't get a whole lot of playing time. That's what I kind of question about. I think Coach Woodson is a good coach. I just don't think he's necessarily a good coach for college basketball because he doesn't necessarily know how to get the best every time. He said, I'm going to put my most athletic guys out there every time. And that's cool. Right. But, like, unfortunately, if they're not keyed in or not, you know, at the level of what you demand, for like, Indiana is the – we all know the Power Five, like, the expectation is to get to the tournament. And, like, but now y'all got all these games behind you. Now the expectation is – you know what I mean? So, like, did Coach Woodson – coach to that, I would say no. In the games that they won, it's when he's allowed other people, you know what I'm saying, the trust factor. I think that's what it is, the trust factor of, like, you know, okay, Xavier Johnson, he even took a flyer on me. Why won't I trust any of these other guys on the bench? Whether whoever, T.J. Gunn, I know, whoever, Elio, whoever, you know what I'm saying? So that's where they are right now. They've shown, can't necessarily just totally give them a death nail because they've shown some – I thought they were going to lose against Ohio State after what they did against Penn State. I was like, there's no way they can go on the road. And I think that's a quad four win still. You know what I'm saying? Even beating a lousy Ohio State team, sorry. You know, they still a quad four win. So my point, my opinion, hey, I know it's hard times. You know what I'm saying? A tall stack, right, to beat Purdue coming up this weekend. But – the other games that they have, plus the Big Ten tournament, you know, the Indiana brand name, they just have to win and they'll get in. But it's a tall order, very tall order.
They, you know, but and I told.
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say one thing. I noticed you were running through their schedule a minute ago, and I was looking on KenPom earlier today, and he predicts the score of every single game, you know, in the future. He has the Hoosiers losing every single game the rest of the way. even the four home games. the four home games are, what'd you say, I think Nebraska, Northwestern, Michigan State, and mm-hmm. Wisconsin maybe. He's got them losing all those games, not to mention all the road games too. So, I mean, even if they do go out and pull a miracle on Saturday and beat Purdue, I still don't think they're going to get in.
Yeah. I texted you, Nick, after the IU-Purdue game, first time they played up at down at Assembly Hall, and I even texted my dad, and I said, late in the second half, that I spotted the difference. And I think everybody, and it sucks that everybody saw it and started running with it as well, but there was a distinction between these two schools and the culture when you're up by 17 and Zach Edey is diving for a loose ball up 17 and Ware's just kind of trying to lightly just bend over for a basketball. That's a culture problem is what that is.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
And
what culture Purdue's built, during this time. I mean, they're not going anywhere. I mean, they're going to be really good for years to come too, Boilers.
Well, I told John that this I'm hearing, like, I told John before the season, I said, this has got to be the year. You got to pull the Virginia and you got to come out there and you got to hone in and take care of business in March and get yourself there and all this. They've been tested throughout the season in different ways. They finally got a win at Rutgers, right? When's the last time Purdue ever won a game at Rutgers? I don't think it's happened. They had a lead against Northwestern. Northwestern battled back. It's not your old grandpa's Northwestern team either. Purdue had lost. And then Wisconsin. At Wisconsin, that typical Purdue team would have lost that game when they were down, lost the lead and got to within two in the second half. But they battled through and won. So they're getting to where they need to. I need to continue to see better guard play. There's still turnovers that Braden Smith does that just make me go crazy. Lawyer still needs to find his shot. If they play athletic guards, faster guards, that's where Purdue's going to struggle. They struggled against it with St. Petersburg or St. Pete. They struggled with it with Fairleigh Dickinson. They both had faster guards. Northwestern had faster guards, and we saw it that they could get wherever they wanted and almost beat Purdue twice. Mm-hmm. So that's my problem with the Boilermakers right now is faster guards create a bigger problem for Purdue as they kind of move towards the end of the season and the NCAAs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree. You're absolutely right. And that was their downfall last year. I think the big X factor and the big difference between this team and last team is the addition of Lance Jones.
Absolutely.
He gives that fifth-year senior presence. And he's, as far as all around, offense and defense, one of the best guards I think Purdue's had in a while, quite honestly. You look at, obviously, Ivy and Carson, they were phenomenal offensively, but, lacked a little bit on the defensive end, whereas Lance, that's where I think, Lance can guard those faster guards, and he's going to be ready. Not only that, by the time the tournament rolls around, Smith and Lawyer are essentially juniors at that point. And I agree. I mean, Smith does turn it over a little bit too much at times. But, man, when he's on, that dude doesn't turn it over, and he'll drop 10 assists on you and score 15 points like it's nothing. So, I agree with you with the Virginia comparison. And, it's never easy to win six in a row in March. But, this Boiler team, in my opinion, is the best team in the country, and I think they're going to have every chance to do it.
Their final eight games of the year – they have five at home and three on the road. There's only three road games remaining for the Big Ten for Purdue. It's at Ohio State, at Michigan, and at Illinois. So if they can take care of business at home and then win two of those three games, maybe you lose to Illinois on the road. But, you can get yourself another Big Ten championship kind of going into the March, which I just saw the bracket the other day for what next year's Big Ten tournament is going to look like. And, my God, why don't we just give everybody buys in the Big Ten tournament? Jesus. All those teams, it's looking wild.
Am I correct that there's going to be two or three teams that won't even make the Big Ten tournament then, right?
No, they're putting everybody in from what I saw.
Oh, they are. Okay. I thought they had said that they weren't. But
Maybe
yeah,
that's going
to be interesting when you get all the West Coast teams in here too.
Yeah, I was going to say, so what do we expect? I mean, we've got, and let me get to the Pac-12 real quick. John's favorite Pac-12 conference of champions. Arizona 17-5, Oregon 15-7, UCLA bad year 10-11, and Washington 12-10. So right now you're looking at Arizona and Oregon inserting themselves into the Big Ten next year as kind of perennials as well. Where does that put, you know, with you look at our local programs here, Purdue and Indiana, you know, obviously Arizona and Purdue played earlier this year, so you got to think Purdue without Edie, I don't know next year what that team's going to look like. I think they might take they're going to take a step back, but I think they'll still be easily tournament bound. But where does that put Indiana, you know, with Oregon and Arizona, two of those teams, and even UCLA, you got to feel like they're going to bounce back next year. If anything, that could drop you down a couple more notches possibly, or even raise you up. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, the nice thing about college basketball, and it seems like the Big Ten in particular, is, I mean, obviously you've got kind of your perennial teams right now, you know, Purdue, Michigan State, Wisconsin, and those, but it does seem that those middle-tier teams will fluctuate quite a bit from year to year. So, you know, a team like Michigan, who last year was in the middle of the pack, is dead last now. I think Indiana can regroup, but man, it's going to take a massive effort. And what they need to do too is get into the transfer portal and find some guys that way too.
Yeah, for sure. I'm looking at, I follow Warren Nolan as well, .com, and they do a predictor there. They've got the Hoosiers right now in the conference for 6-6. They're predicting them to be 9-11. And then overall, right now they're 14-9. They're predicting them to be 17-14. So 82 in
yeah.
the RPI.
Yeah. Yep. So. And see that, I mean, their computer numbers are down in the 80s and 90s. I mean, yeah, they're just not that good of a team. They just aren't.
Let's talk about a team that's good. It's been surprising how well they've done, but in the Mo Valley, Indiana State, 19-3, 11-1 overall, won 7 in a row, they got a shot.
Yep, they got their 20th win.
Yeah, sorry, 20. Yeah, I told John, I think they could easily be a double weekend.
Oh, you
yeah, I don't know how. Wait,
yes, I think they could be Sweet 16.
Really?
I do.
Okay.
When you think about Indiana State, they're 20-3, 10-0 at home. Unfortunately, the committee, right? If they win the Mo Valley, right? The committee's gonna F them. That we know that. Reason being, they did play two Power Five schools. They played Michigan State real close. They still lost, and they played Alabama. I do believe back in
November.
The season started back in like November.
Six.
So yeah, it wasn't a good game. For the Sycamores, but like as far as like being a mid-major killer, you put them in front of them, they beat them. You know what I'm saying? Not necessarily in their conference, they beat Ball State, they beat, you know what I'm saying, Evansville, Toledo, some teams from the MAC. They beat IEPY, a team from the Horizon. I don't know if those are. And I know some of those teams aren't necessarily in the best. You know what I'm saying? One loss, but a lot of these games are wins on the road. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if the committee, with my personal opinion. The Big Ten being having somewhat of a down year, and in the Pac-12, not necessarily have from a ranking standpoint, they're not down, but you know the Pac-12 ain't gonna be here, right? And then you know California, some of these other teams ain't gonna make the tournament. Stanford ain't gonna make the tournament, but like, will Indiana State get a good seeding, even if they don't win? I think they win the tournament, but will they? You know, what I'm saying, will they get a good seeding if they don't win the tournament?
They're 1-3 in Quad One. 3-0 in Quad 2, 7-0 and 8-0. Their net right now is 22. So I would feel even if they don't win the conference, they've done enough to get in. I just don't know if the committee will see it the same way. It's hard to get two teams from the Mo Valley in every year,
right?
You know, if Drake ends up winning it.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, I'm with you guys on that. I mean, in my opinion, they deserve to be in. You know, assuming they handle their business the rest of the way. you know, basically went out and then lose the Mo Valley Championship. I mean, they're going to have damn near 30 wins if they do that. And you're going to keep a 30-win team or close to a 30-win team out of the tournament. You know, I get it. They're not playing a Big Ten schedule. But, you know, the Missouri Valley is also not the SWAC. You know, I mean, it's still a mid-tier conference. It's not the worst. So, you know, and especially the more and more, you know, I heard you guys talking about the whole salary cap thing and all that. So it just really feels like more and more as we go, those power teams are just going to have all the power. I love having, you know, why not throw a mid-major team if you can? And it's between, say, a, you know, 27-4 Indiana State team against a, you know, 18-13, you know, Syracuse or something, you know, like, let the little guy in there. Come on.
Right. That's what I'd be thinking. That's the little guy.
Yeah. So from a team that we think should get into a team that's truly on the bubble, Butler, 14-8. Their net right now is a 50. They only got 3 quad one wins. They just had a big win recently at Creighton. And, you know, they've beaten Marquette, who's number 7. They've beaten them. They've also beaten Texas Tech, who's ranked 23rd in the country. Lost to Connecticut. Lost by 9 on the road, so maybe that's a little moral victory there. But do we think the Dogs can play in? They right now they're in, based off Joe Lunardi, but it's gonna be a big battle for the end of the season for them.
I say they need a Big East win, a Big East tournament win, 500 or better. A Big East tournament win will probably get some in. Thad Mata has turned this program around. He's got a lot of, like, the starting five is a bunch of transfers, but they've all bought in, right? And then the reserves all, you know what I'm saying, first-time freshmen, man. So you got to tip your hat to Thad Mata getting that thing turned back around in such a short time. I can't necessarily say there's any one individual like this, like, you know what I'm saying, that next Gordon Haywood or, you know what I'm saying, out in this bunch. But, like, they got a solid team. Like Brandon said, they beat Texas Tech. At Texas Tech, they went on the road and beat California. The tournament team, the committee, they look at those things like that. Even though, like I said, Texas Tech, California, where they're right now with their program, but at that time, you know what I'm saying, Butler had enough gumption to beat a ranked Texas Tech, to beat a ranked Marquette. I think they're in, but they're gonna have to, you know what I'm saying, do their due diligence and try to win as many. Because again, UConn's gonna run away with that Big East. They have. They swept. They've already swept. They played them twice already. They've already swept them. So, like, I think it kind of just comes down to them, you know what I'm saying, continuing winning, you know what I'm saying, like I said, 500 better as their biggest season continues. And like I said, picking up a win, maybe two, in the Big East tournament. And like I said, they'll be in.
Yeah, I mean, you took the words right out of my mouth as far as the scheduling, particularly, you know, the non-conference scheduling. It is a big thing that the committee always looks at. And yeah, I'm looking at their schedule. They played 4 power conference teams in the non-conference. On top of that, they played Florida Atlantic and Boise State, who are both probably tournament teams. So that's 6 out of their 11 non-conference games that are against really good teams, not to mention a grueling Big East schedule. I mean, to me, you know, by the end of the season, they will have played one of the toughest schedules in the country. So if you can put up 19, 20 wins – you know, with a schedule like that, you have to be in the tournament. You just have to be. And, you know, the other point I was going to make, too, is the rest of their games, they've got 8 games left, 5 of them at Hinkle. So I think that's a big thing for them. They can hold serve at Hinkle. You know, they could probably even lose one of those 5 and still get in.
Right.
So, yeah, I think things are looking good. Like you said, Thad, I mean, you got to give Thad a lot of props. He's done a great job in a really short time. So pretty exciting.
Last thing I have, just going off the AP poll right now, if you had to pick right now an NCAA champion, obviously we don't know what's going to go and what the brackets are going to look like the road to Final Four. Connecticut, Purdue, North Carolina, Kansas, State, out there if you need to. But of those ones right now, Nick, which one do you like to cut down the nets from those lists?
Hey, I'm going to go with what I've been saying. I said it even in the off season, and it was exactly what you said earlier, Brandon, about Virginia, is that, you know, when you lose to a 16 seed like that, you know, it's so demoralizing. And it's just, you know, it's got to be just a huge chip on your shoulder. And on top of that, they're the best team in the country, if you ask me. So you tell me you got the best team in the country with the best player in the country, and they've got a massive chip on their shoulder, put me down for the Boilers.
Oh, God. God. That just makes me nervous with you because I feel like you're trying to jinx us, and I know how
not
that plays
all.
And how
not
that
all.
Works
I'm saying
out.
That because I believe that.
I'll tell you this, I'm picking Purdue, and when those brackets come out and we do our bracket special show, here's a tease. I'm taking Purdue to win the title because this, damn it, has to be the year. It has to. It absolutely has to. It's got to be the repeat of Virginia, and I'll tell you what, this might be the closest Purdue ever gets to here again, and this will be the only time I'm going to have a chance to actually take them where they have a shot at it, so I'm picking them. Wendy. Have to invest. Yeah. This is the year.
The other thing I want to say about them for this year, mm-hmm, is I pity whatever 16 seed is going to go up against them because Purdue is going to beat them by
here
50
in Indy?
At least. Yeah, in Indy.
In
you know, pissed off from what happened last year. It's going to be a bloodbath in that one.
So their road would be Indianapolis and then Detroit as of right now.
Yep. Yep, and you can lock that in. They're going to be the one in the Midwest, and they're going to be playing in Indy first weekend. So lock that in.
John,
get your travel arrangements done. You know, you're in Indy
the first weekend, Detroit the second.
I don't want to be a homer so bad. I know Purdue has beaten some teams early on in the year that have gotten a little bit better. Now, the only two teams that really kind of give me pause in a tournament, you know what I'm saying, I don't think no mid-major team really scares me against Purdue. Purdue already beat Marquette this year, and though they are on the small side, they, you know what I'm saying, and they you know what I'm saying, they rebound well, they come out, you know what I'm saying, they basically kind of start all wings. I don't, Marquette's too small. The only other two teams that really kind of scare me, Arizona and North Carolina. Again, some teams, I do believe Purdue already played either one of those teams or both of those teams. I think they played one of those teams and already beat them, right? But I think, you know, those are, you know, UConn is still somewhat of a would be a handful for them. You know what I'm saying? Those are the two best teams. If it comes down to one of those two, I would have to go with UConn. But anybody else, whether it be Arizona, Marquette, Duke is probably a second, you know what I'm saying, a second weekend out, you know what I'm saying, because I don't necessarily think they're strong as they, you know what I'm saying, as they've been in the past. There's really
I like
nobody
Carolina.
Out in the field. Yeah, outside of Carolina and, like I said, UConn, those are teams that kind of give me pause. But I really would like, you know what I'm saying, like I said, Purdue, you know, this would be the year because, like, IU's down and, you know what I'm saying, you rub that in their faces. But, like, the two best teams right now, UConn and Purdue. And I see them, one of those two teams, you know what I'm saying, hoisting up, cutting down the nets this March.
Okay. Well, Nick, thanks for joining us again. We'll get you on. We'll do our bracket special show once again in March as we do our go through the brackets. So, but thanks for joining us tonight, buddy, on kind of a little bit of a short notice.
Absolutely. Always great. Thank you, guys.
All right. See you, buddy.
Thanks, Carl.
See you.
All right. John, last thing before we wrap tonight. WWE Fallout Man, Roman Rock, WrestleMania, press conference tomorrow. We'll see if they have the match. Cody, everybody wants Cody. There's a lot of outrage with it, getting us a Seth and Cody match. Rock just kind of said, I'm going to take my executive powers and I'm going to insert myself in this match that I don't rightfully deserve the title match. I think everybody would be happy if it was non-title. And then Cody actually, and that would be night two, and maybe Cody wins the title night one with Reigns. That way Reigns says, hey, I'm superior ahead of everybody. I'll take you both on one each night. That's what I think they personally should do, but they're not.
Yeah, I know WrestleMania, for you wrestling junkies, man, the rug got swept up under you, man. They put Cody Rhodes on this great story arc since his return back to the WWF, your world wrestling entertainment, right? You can't call it WWF no more, right? And with, unfortunately, the controversies, Vince McMahon and Brock Lesnar, you know, the powers to be that run the WWE thought that it would be better for a more high profile The Rock is more – who's more high profile than The Rock when it comes to the world of professional wrestling? They can actually still wrestle, right? You know what I'm saying? The Hulk Hogan of the world, the Ric Flair of the world. Though they may try to get back in the ring, they can't get back in the ring, right? But, like, no, man, it's the storyline that people kind of do. I'm obviously a proponent of it. I like The Rock coming back. The pop was amazing, but the boos were also tremendously amazing once they kind of, you know what I'm saying, swerved the crowd. And everybody, you know what I'm saying, taking Cody out of it. And then the way he did it, he's like, all right, he basically stepped out. He didn't say, I'm going to throw a punch at The Rock or talk crazy to The Rock. He just kind of stepped out. So, Brandon, I really expect a different part of the story. I expect some type of swerve with the reaction, with the fan reaction. You know what I'm saying? I expect some type of swerve.
They haven't announced either match either, which is crazy. Normally they've done that.
I know. I know, man. They kind of let suspense kind of like linger, you know what I'm saying, something like WWE is like not known for. But I think there's another part to this storyline that we haven't necessarily foreseen yet, and that's probably what happens. So, everybody, okay, just don't worry, man. We're going to get Rock. We're going to get Cody. We're going to get, you know what I'm saying, Roman Reigns. It's not necessarily going to be in the way that y'all think it in your mind right now.
Okay. John, you want to wrap us, man?
Man, I do, man. Other than that, man, I know we covered a whole lot. We covered All-Star. We covered the big game on Sunday. Some people call it the Super Bowl, right? And, you know, so we have to cover ourselves so we don't want to get sued for, you know, hell, we publicizing an NFL game for them. Like, it needs more, you know what I'm saying, publicity. Right. But, like, no, man, we had a great show tonight. Thanks to all the friends of the program calling in, chiming in, D-Cott, Uncle Reg. Thanks to Nick Peterson, to our basketball group for calling in, you know, saying enlightening us, man. We were all on the same page. We all think Indiana State, the Fighting Sycamores, Fighting Trees, right, should make the tournament. IU's got a tough road ahead of them. And, shoot, I wanted to say Purdue should win not only the Big Ten regular season, but also the tournament, man. So, you know, we'll see if some of our predictions kind of come to fruition outside of that. Outside of that, Brandon, I just want to say thanks again to Scott K. Nichols with State Farm Insurance and Mavericks Custom Motorsports, both our sponsors, who proudly sponsor us and help us. You know, like I said, pay the light bills and all those things, help keep the show moving and grooving. Outside of that, I know we didn't talk too much about the Senior Bowl or the Pro Bowl that was this past weekend, man. You can catch some of those highlights if you like on the NFL.com or whatnot, man. And the Pro Bowl ain't what it used to be, y'all, but it is still around. The Senior Bowl, for me, had a couple of highlights, man. If you're a big college football nerd like I am and want to see, like, you know what I'm saying, the next Bo Nix or how far Bo Nix might be able to do in a pro setting, or even Spencer Rattler, who was the Senior Bowl MVP this past weekend, man. You know what I'm saying? A lot of their talents were on display this weekend, man. There's still, like I said, a lot of football left to be played and a lot of, you know what I'm saying, to digest. You know what I'm saying? We still got to go through the draft and some of the offseason free agencies. As well, besides the big game on Sundays, I'm like, no, man, me and Brandon Reef will be back Crossroads
next
Sports,
Tuesday.
Next Tuesday, we have a special. I'm gonna keep the special guest that we have kind of coming on to the show special, and we'll let that be. But there you go, special Tuesday, Crossroads Sports next week. Like I said, Brandon told y'all in early part of the show, we got a 7-year anniversary coming up back in March. I already got my wheels turning on that one, man. I know Brandon got to go, you know what I'm saying, get some supper time because his wife is calling, man. But so outside of that, man, this has been Crossroads Sports episode number 287. I'm Jonathan Burson. That has been Brandon Reef. We are Crossroads Sports. If you didn't call in tonight or you didn't chime in on the Facebook Live, man, why aren't you, man? So, you know what I'm saying, if you listen to my voice next time, next week, next Tuesday, call in 929-477-3331. We'd love to hear from you. Or click the link on my page or click the link on the Crossroads Sports page, click the link on Brandon Reese page to listen to the show. Outside of that, I know I talk fast, and like I said, you know what I'm saying, this has been a great show once again. We'll just, you know what I'm saying, we'll try to do bigger, better ever next week. I'm Jonathan Burson. That's Brandon Reese. Again, this is Crossroads Sports. We'll talk to you later. See you next time. Thanks for listening.
God damn, that's an ending. I love it, JB. Keep it up, my man.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.